The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The disciples were on the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went ahead of them. They were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. Taking the 12 aside again, he began to tell them what was going to happen to him. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him, spit upon him, scourge him, and put him to death. But after 3 days, he will rise. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." He replied, "What do you wish me to do for you?" They answered him, "Grant that in your glory we may sit, one at your right and the other at your left." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the chalice that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" They said to him, "We can." Jesus said to them, "The chalice that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right or at my left is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at James and John. Jesus summoned them and said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. And remember now, we're in ordinary time again. Easter season's over. So what we're doing here, we're picking up where we left off way back in February. And just to situate you as to where we are and where we're going, I'll just tell you that in the story of the Bible, what's happening now is Jesus is going up to Jerusalem, where he's going to be crucified, where he's going to die. And as he's making his way along, he's teaching some of his most important lessons as he's making his way along. 2 weeks ago, he said to his apostles, "Unless you become like little children, you will not enter the kingdom of God." That was 2 weeks ago. 1 week ago, he said to his apostles that whoever wishes to come after me must renounce all that he possess. That was 1 week ago. So here today is James and John, and they come up to Jesus and they say, "Hey, Lord, we want you to make us powerful and important." And Jesus realizes that he'd have to teach this lesson all over again, right? "Teacher," James and John say to Jesus today, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." Can I give you just a tiny little word of advice when you go to prayer? Whenever you go to prayer, please don't begin by telling God what he needs to do. Okay? We want to reverse that. We want to ask God what he wants us to do. Anytime you start off by giving marching orders to God, "Listen, Lord, your servant is speaking," you know you're off to a bad start. So Jesus said, "What do you want?" "Well, grant that in your glory, we will be one at your right and the other at your left." When was Jesus in his glory? When was Jesus in his glory? When he was on the cross. Remember what the word glory means in the Bible? It doesn't mean glory and honor. It means that time in which you're showing yourself for who you truly are. And when Jesus was on the cross, who was at his right and at his left? The two thieves. And this is why Jesus says, "You don't know what you're asking, do you?" So the other apostles, they get so upset, and they think that James and John are trying to cut in line and become VIPs in the kingdom. And Jesus says to them, I wish I could make you all VIPs in the kingdom. I'd love greatness for all of you. But it's not what you think. Greatness in the eyes of God comes when you bear a burden in love for the well-being of someone else. The Son of Man did not come to serve, to be served, but to serve, and to give his life away as a ransom for many. The greatness in the kingdom of God comes when you bear a burden in love for the well-being of someone else. And understand, the greatness is not in the size of the burden. Greatness is in the size of the love with which you carry it. So when a burden comes into your life, it's basically four things you can do about it. You can complain about it. You can endure it. You can think of it as a means to an end. Or you can choose it. Four things you can do about it. It's true for any burden. It's true for a irritating slow line at the grocery store or a traffic jam, just as much as it's true for a diagnosis of cancer. You can complain about it, stoically endure it, think of it as a means to an end, or you can choose it. What do you do with your burden? It makes all the difference. Most people just complain about it, don't they? When you complain about the hardships in your life, it doesn't do anybody any good. In fact, it even makes you worse. It even makes you worse to complain about your hardships. Stoically enduring it, that's not too much better. Hardship comes into our lives, we just sort of steal through and press through. There's no love in that. There's no praise in that. A little bit better than that is you think of it as a means to an end, right? No pain, no gain. You got to pay your dues and come out the other side. That's a little bit better, but none of that's discipleship. Discipleship happens when we choose it for the well-being of somebody else. You know what a good example to think of what that might look like? Think about a disaster scene. Think about September 11th, something along those lines. And there's people who are in need, and you're there on the scene, and you lend a helping hand. What are you thinking at that moment? Are you thinking, why me? Are you thinking, how long until this is over? Are you thinking, no pain, no gain? No. You're thinking, what can I do to help? And you're glad to help. That's the spirit of discipleship. That's thinking about other people. That's the key that unlocks the heart of God. And that's what discipleship's all about. That's where true greatness is found. It was found in spades with our saint for today, right? St. Philip Neri. St. Philip Neri, just in case you don't know about him, he was a priest in Rome in the middle of the 1500s. It was the time when the Protestant Reformation was in full swing, and God raised up saints to show forth the greatness of the church, and Philip Neri was one of them. He had a supernatural joy, Philip Neri did. And it wasn't just a natural joy. He wasn't just a cheerful man. He had a supernatural joy, and he gave peace and calm and comfort to people with his joy and his exuberance. But he carried a heavy burden. He suffered very, very greatly. One of my favorite stories of Philip Neri, he was trying to pray, and he was up on the roof of his house, and people would come and ring the doorbell, wanting to see Father Philip Neri. And down he'd go from the roof of his house to meet the person who was at the door, and up he'd go again, and he'd pray. And then somebody else would come and ring the door, and he'd go down again. Up and down, all day long. Somebody finally said to him, doesn't this drive you crazy? And he said, no. The man said, why not? And he goes, because I'm going from Jesus to Jesus. His mind was entirely on what God was asking of him. Great, great joy that he had. And this is our Lord's lesson here today. The greatest one at the table isn't the one sitting at the head of the table. The greatest one at the table isn't the one sitting at the foot of the table. The greatest one is the one who's serving the table. Let's pray for the grace to keep our Lord's words and put them into practice, and ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. St. Philip Neri, pray for us.